wherever you are. Let's see how many moms we have here today. Whoa, look at this. Wonderful array. It's like a garden here this morning with these beautiful, lovely flowers, these mothers that are standing. I want you to come forward, all right? Why don't you come forward and just turn and face the congregation? It may be that we'll have very few in the congregation this morning. I'll get up here. Yeah, just kind of line right across the front and turn and... Some of you are going to be facing your children and friends and your husbands and all the mothers. Come on, all the mothers. We want you to come. If you're visiting with us and you're a mom, we want you to come and be with us too. You need not be a member of the church. All the moms, what a beautiful, beautiful line. Let's give the moms a hand this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I want you ladies to know that you are special in our sight, but more importantly, you're special in God's sight. And you come from different walks of life, different backgrounds. Some of you came to the Lord perhaps early in life. Some of you perhaps didn't come to Christ till later in life. But you're all loved by God, and you remind us of God's love in the way that you so minister to us, those of us who have been the recipients and we've received the blessing of the Lord through your lives. We have some more moms back there. I got another mom back there. Come on up. Come on, Melissa. Come on. Bring the little one. She's got a little one in tow, so come on up here. There's the proof positive right there. Yeah, you come right up here. Okay, I'm going to ask for my board members to come. Come on, board members, come up and give me a hand. Brother Don, right back here. We have a basket here of lovely carnations. Every year, we've been doing this for the last several years. I believe it's birthright. We help to support by doing this. It's a worthy ministry and cause. And we purchased these, and we're going to go right down the line. And come on, guys, come on up here. I don't know if we have, well, we got one basket, but maybe you can take a few of those in hand and let them pick one out. If they want one, fine, you can take several and just go right down the line. Yeah, got Don and Bob and Norm. Go ahead and... We want our board members to just express how much we appreciate to each one of these ladies. You know, women, they're very sensitive. They don't want anything that's going to clash with their outfit. So we got to give them a little time up here. Okay? Hopefully we can satisfy every lady. So beautiful carnations. Oh, right. Praise the Lord. Listen, if you have experienced a blessing, we have any more? Let me see back there. Is there someone? Yeah. Okay, back there in the hallway. You have any more mothers in the hallway? Let's see. There. Any more moms? Come on up. Just come on up. If you have a child in tow, come on up. Come on. Yeah. Corrine was hiding back there, too. Any more mothers? We need... We'll send... The chick is back there trying to find them. Any more moms? Any more mothers? Okay. No? Okay. We got them all? All right. We're going to just take a moment here, and we're going to, after they receive the carnation, we're going to ask God's blessing upon them. You know, we live in different days than many of us were reared when we were younger. There was a whole different atmosphere in our country. Christian values were things that were sought after. They were things that were treasured in society. And so we find that mothers today, they live in a world where their values aren't always necessarily appreciated. by society. And so it's so important that in the home that mothers maintain their faith and model before their children the things of God. And we're going to offer a special prayer for each one of these moms today. All right, let's all stand. Everyone, would you stand with me, these mothers? God's word is very explicit about the importance of motherhood and what it means to be a godly woman. And as I said, in today's world, it is so important with all that is happening that women of God take that stand that they should take before the world. It speaks of the excellent wife in Proverbs, and in so doing it talks about also the influence that she has on the home. And I want to just read that passage from Proverbs. Many of you are familiar with it from Proverbs 31. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax, works with her hands in delight. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night, gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength, makes her arm strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. And her husband is known in the gates, and he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments, sells them, and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. And she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, and her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her words praise her in the gates." God exalts the woman of God who will live a godly life before her family. Perhaps the skills that I've read this morning, some would say, "Why, Pastor, I could never fill all of that." But that's not what God expects of you. He just expects that you would be the woman of God that he has chosen you to be, where he has placed you. Let's ask God's blessing upon these women this morning. Father, we thank you for these women today. We need good examples of what it means to be a godly woman in today's world. There's such a fascination with beauty, and there's a definition of worldly love that really doesn't fit what it means to be a godly woman. And Lord, today we turn to your word and we say, oh God, we appreciate each one of these ladies from different backgrounds, different stations in life. And we ask your blessing to be upon them as they desire to do your divine will, to be the woman of God that you would have them be. I pray, Lord, that you would give them an inner strength and wisdom from above, that they might radiate the person of Jesus in their lives, that others might see Christ in them. And Lord, that as they live for you, that their children and their households would be blessed by their mere presence. That truly it would be said of each one of them that they are godly women. And today, Lord, we commit them to you and to your safekeeping. And I pray, though we know not the days that lie ahead for each of them, yet we know that you are there already in their future, You will provide a means. You'll prepare the way. May their paths be blessed of the Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give them another hand as they return to their seats. This morning, I want to just share a few thoughts with you on the subject relating to this special day. I want to speak on the subject, a mother's miracle. A mother's miracle. We're honoring all of our mothers today. And one cannot deny the profound influence that mothers have on their children, either for the good or the bad. To be chosen of God to be a mother, it's a very important role that you play. Not everybody in the world sees it that way. But the influence that you have as a mom is going to, in many respects, impact your child in such an indelible way. Their lives are going to be shaped for the rest of their lives. Some of the things that are going to develop in your children's hearts and lives, some of those things will go back to those early years of rearing. How often we hear of individuals that hearken back to those early days when things would happen in the presence of their mother or their influence the mother had on them at that early, early age. A teacher gave her class of second graders a lesson on the magnet, on magnets, and what it does. And so the next day, in a written test, she included this question. She wanted to check and see if they had remembered some things. She said, "My name has six letters. The first one is M. I pick up things. What am I?" And when the test papers were turned in, the teacher was astonished to find that almost 50% of the students answered the question with the word mother. Many of you can relate to that. I pick up things. What am I? Mother. Mother. I want to direct your attention to the second book of Kings and the fourth chapter. And there's a few verses here of an incident that happened in the life of the prophet Elisha and the confrontation he had with a woman of the day. As you know anything about the Old Testament prophets, they were an interesting breed. We see them occurring from time to time throughout the history of Israel, and we have these incidences that would happen that have been recorded, spectacular things that would occur. If you ever question whether or not God works through miracles, read about the lives of the Old Testament prophets, because there's a lot of miracles there. People have a hard time today with the subject of miracles. We tend to try to explain it away through natural means, through natural causes. But you have some bona fide miracles that happened in the Old Testament. There's no other explanation, but what it was an event that happened by divine reason, with divine reason behind it. It had to be God interjecting himself into human history and performing things that are without explanation in the natural. Sometimes, of course, we know natural forces are used by God for his divine purposes, but there are times when things happen, and it's just, you just have to come to the conclusion it's a miracle of God. And we find this in this fourth chapter, 2 Kings. It says, "Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves.' And Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?' And she said, 'Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil.' And then he said, 'Go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. So she went out from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, and they were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. And it came about when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not one vessel more. And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest. That's just like God, isn't it? A God of compassion and a God of love. Several things we learn from this account, valuable lessons that I just want to touch on today. Here's a mother who is in a desperate life or death situation. The father has died and had run up some debts and probably had full intention of paying the debts off, but he's now gone. He cannot do that. And this woman is faced with this, wondering, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Some people find themselves in situations like that, and I think about those in the world who don't have the knowledge of God in their hearts, and they're not living for God. And I ask myself, what do they do? They don't know what to do, but for the child of God, there's always hope. And she knew there was a man of God who was known as a prophet of the Lord, and she knew that God oftentimes could do that which was inconceivable that in the natural realm, and she sought him out, and she took her case to the man of God. Her husband was dead, she was unable to pay the debts. There was hopelessness and despair, but there was one ray of hope. Her debts outnumbered her ability to pay. Her children were about to be taken away. She faced total loss. There's something in a mother's heart that rises up whenever the children somehow are going to be adversely affected. At least in most mothers, it's that way. Something about protecting the child at all costs. Story is told years ago, a young mother was making her way across the hills of South Wales. She was carrying a tiny baby in her arms. And along the way, she was overtaken by a blinding blizzard. The story goes on to tell that she never reached her destination. When the blizzard had subsided, her body was found by searchers beneath a mound of snow. But they discovered that before her death, she had taken off all her outer clothing, wrapped it around her baby. And when they unwrapped the child, to their great surprise and joy, they found that he was alive and well. The love of a mother in a desperate situation protect her children. And this mother's heart was concerned about this little one. That's not the end of the story, though. The mother had, in the desperate situation, done this act of love and charity, and she mounded her body over his and had given life to her child, proving the depths of her motherly love. And years later, that very child, David Lloyd George, he grew to manhood. He became the Prime Minister of Great Britain. And without a doubt, many consider him as one of England's greatest statesmen. It all happened because of that motherly instinct. At all costs, what can I do? What can I do to preserve the life of my child? We never know the significance of the sacrifices we make at the time. And some of you might have been there. Some of you might have wondered, is it worth it?
the sacrifice I'm making. You do not know. Only God knows. The important thing is to turn in the right direction and do the right thing and ask of the Lord and be faithful and then let Him sort it all out and let Him work in your life and in the lives of your children. Life often presents challenges that surface our true character. And so it was with this mother. Going back to the passage in 2 Kings, this was a mother who loved her children and her concern was primarily for her children, not herself. She could not face the future without her children. Such a different attitude from the estrangement we often see today between some parents and their children. There are some who don't have time for their kids anymore. Just as long as they're occupied. They're seen oftentimes as being kind of in the way and because of their responsibilities as parents, sometimes some children are kind of cast aside because it's too much bother. I'm not able to do what I want to do. I'm not able to pursue what I want to pursue. I've got these responsibilities with my children, and so they just try to humor their kids or find something for them to do, and they don't realize how important it is. The influence that they have on those that have been entrusted to them by God. God has so ordained it that there's something special that occurs in the family between parent and child. We don't just bring children into the world and then somehow they just kind of mature on their own. And no, God has ordained it that the parents of that child, the father and the mother, will have an influence on that child that will last for a lifetime. Lifetime. Here, this mother concerned about her children. I think of today's families. It says in Mark's gospel, if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. God wants our homes to be places of peace and rest and tranquility. There are some homes that children dread to go home to because there's going to be nothing but strife. And God wants our homes to be a haven of rest. How is that going to happen? Oftentimes, it's the mother who is there that helps set the tone. She's the one who is there. I can recall as a child, no matter what I was doing as a child out playing, and we would, it seems like whenever given the opportunity, we would just exhaust every bit of daylight playing. Sometimes we'd play into the night. We just were always outside. So different from today. Kids want to go indoors, you know, and they stand in front of a TV. But back then, we just wanted to be outside and playing and having fun. But oh, the joy to always know I could return home and there Mom would be there to greet me and give me a kiss and give me a hug and supper would be waiting. And what a joy. There was just a wonderful sense of peace and rest in the home. My dad, being a pastor, oftentimes he would be out and ministering and visiting, doing all the things that pastors do. And it was Mom who was there. And she was the one who was taking charge in the home and making it a haven of rest for all who would enter. What a wonderful memory. What a cherished thought to have. And so this mother was trying to protect her loved ones. She acted on her love wisely. Her children were about to be taken and forced into slavery. You know, there is a right way and a wrong way to do things. She could have gotten rid of the children. She could have said, you know, I'm never going to be able to make it on my own. These kids are going to drag me down. Here's an opportunity to get rid of them. She didn't say that. She rose to the occasion because of her love for her children. And this is a mother who knew where to get help, as I mentioned. You know, the prophet didn't know her situation until she sought him out. Her husband's life taught her how to respond to crises. It says in this first verse of 2 Kings chapter 4. Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. He evidently was a godly man. He's feared the Lord. You know that. She goes to the prophet. You know that he was somebody who stood for what was right. He served the Lord. He feared God. The prophet didn't know the situation, but she sought him out. She reminded him of this commitment to God and to doing what was right on the part of her husband. It was adversity that drove her to God. It's often reported in times of tragedy. You know, when faced with overwhelming loss, is your faith shaken or is it strengthened? I thank God for godly women who, when facing tough times, when others have given up on them or when others have failed them, they don't give up on God. There's something about that, that hanging on to God and believing that there is a solution. Not allowing the skeptics and the attacks of others to dissuade them from that godly responsibility that has been given them, but they continue to seek the Lord for His wisdom, His grace, and His guidance. The preacher and author by the name of Elion T. Jones, he wrote concerning the profound influence of motherhood. He asked the question in one of his books. He says, I ask you, who was greater, Thomas A. Edison or his mother? We all know about Thomas A. Edison, one of the great inventors, American inventors, and the things that he did. He goes on to say, you know, when he was a young lad, when Thomas Edison was a young lad, his teacher sent him home with a note which said, your child is dumb. We can't do anything for him. Some of you are relating this morning and said, you know, I got that kind of a note. Others, they have already defined you, or they defined your children. And they try to tell you what your child is. And you know, sometimes we believe what the others say. And you have a decision to make in that moment. You can believe what they say, or perhaps you might go on your own instincts and perhaps on your own faith. So the letter was written, your child is dumb, we can't do anything for him. And Mrs. Edison wrote back, you do not understand my boy. I will teach him myself. And she did, with results that are well known. You cannot underestimate the influence of a mother upon her child. See, you can't do it by yourself, but all things are possible with God. And with the Lord, you and the Lord as a team, you can accomplish great things. And you can go beyond the expectations of those, the skeptics and others who would see nothing but ruin down the road perhaps, but you can have faith to believe that there's something good and blessed and wonderful that yet awaits you and your children as you put your confidence in God. You and God together can have that kind of faith and outlook. And instead of believing what others might say, you can believe the word of the Lord and experience His blessing. This is a mother who obeyed God's instruction and witnessed a miracle. She had to make a decision to act on faith or her intellect. Notice again what it says in the scripture. Go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few, and you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. So she went from him and shut the door behind her. and her sons, and they were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. You have a decision to make, you see. We all do as we hear the word of the Lord, and as God impresses things upon our hearts, we have decisions that we make. We can either believe the word of God and act on it, or else we can just turn aside and say, well, that doesn't make sense. How often has one come into a place where God's word is being preached and they've heard something from God and God is moving and the Holy Spirit is anointing, and then they leave that place and because it defies their own ability to explain it and reason it out, they say, well, I'm not even going to do that. I'm just going to face it myself. I'm not even going to try it. How many come under the hearing of the word of God and God is trying to get their attention and yet they leave and they live their life the same way as when they came in and the word of the Lord has had no effect on them? You see, you make that decision. You can arise and stand upon the word of the Lord and you can put it to the test and find out that God is true. God's word lives on and shall endure forever. Or you can trust yourself to your own abilities and find that down the road there'll be nothing but questions and confusion and perhaps distress because your circumstances haven't changed. What will you do? The godly mother stands in the word of God. The godly mother is the one who will go back. It doesn't make sense. Did you hear what the prophet said? He said that we're to go and get empty vessels. I have some oil, but you know there's only so much oil. Why, that vessel, it's only so large. And yet the prophet said, go and get all the vessels you can, all of them, in various sizes. I can see those boys going out through the community. They're getting all these vessels. And, hey, my mom's going to be selling oil. Oh, really? Where do we get the oil? You know, my mom's going to be, she's going to be selling some oil. You have an empty vessel? People, they probably couldn't understand it. How is this poor widow now, how is she going to make it? And here are the boys going out and collecting throughout the community all these vessels. And it was up to her. Several things here to take note of. First of all, we think about the obedience to the Lord, to the words of the prophet. That was so important. And that's where it begins with you as a mother, as a godly mother. It begins with obedience. What has God said to you? What has God spoken into your life? What has he encouraged you to do? That's where it begins. But think of what was happening in the lives of those children. We don't have their ages here. We just know that their sons are going to be taken and put into slavery. But we do know this, that whatever mom was doing was going to have a profound effect on those kids. I don't know of any follow-up to this, how the kids turned out later on in life, but I do know this. They could always point to an event in their lives, perhaps at a young age, when things were desperate. It was a desperate situation. And mom went to the man of God, and the man of God gave her instructions. And she went home and did what seemed to be crazy. How is this going to happen? And yet she said, go and get those vessels. God's going to provide. And then she began to have them pour into those vessels. And God gave an unending supply for the hour. Think of the impression that made on those kids. You think they would tend then to think that and believe that God could do anything? Do you think they would then later on in life, when they faced a difficult moment, some trial or some obstacle along the way, do you think that they would perhaps think, you know, instead of fretting about it, instead of wondering all about it, why not go to the man of God? Or why not go to the Lord? Why not believe the word of the Lord? Why, mother did it. Remember what happened when she believed the word of the Lord. Why not believe the word of God? And perhaps they began to instill those same values in their family life. Were they to marry and have children, I can imagine that they would just pass those same values on. Why, when mom went, she went to the man of God and he told her, maybe that's what we ought to do. Maybe we ought to go to the house of the Lord. Maybe we ought to go to God and believe God for a miracle. That's what miracles are for, you know. It's when you face the impossible and you face the brick wall, so to speak, and there seems to be no way, And the devil would tell you there is no way. And then you stand in the midst of it all. And you say, you know, there may not appear to be an answer to this, but I have faith in God that God's going to bring me through. That somehow, even though I don't understand it, I believe God knows where I am. He sees my circumstances. And the God that I serve is mighty. And he is able to perform a miracle. If a miracle needs to be performed, my God can do it. What kind of faith? A mother's faith. That would encourage those boys to go out and gather those vessels from the community. And sure enough, the oil started to pour. And they're peering down the pot. Guess what? It's still pouring. I don't know where it's coming from. You know, what an amazing thing that would have been. Well, you know, we should have run out, Mom. It's still pouring. And they moved to the next one and they're pouring. There's still oil in there. And every time they looked in that vessel, there was more oil to pour. Until she called out for another vessel and they said, they're all full. They're all full. There's no more vessels. When God does something, he does it right. You don't have to fear that you're going to be shortchanged by God. God will never shortchange you. He will always bless you abundantly beyond what you even expect. That's what the scripture says. Even beyond your expectations, God will bless. God will bless. But it takes someone of faith. It takes someone who's going to stand in the midst of what appears to be destruction and ruin. It takes somebody to stand and say, you know, but I believe God. I believe God. So God used what that little woman had. She may not have had much, but God used what she had. That's all she had. Isn't it amazing? We think sometimes that God has to have a lot of resources before in place before, you know, he can do things in our life. Listen, God doesn't need anything. And you might think you just don't have what it takes or whatever. Listen, God can use what you've got, whatever it is you've got, and he can multiply it to meet the need. And that's what he did. And what she had was sufficient for a miracle. And the miracle was sufficient and proportionate to her faith. The oil kept on pouring until all the jars were full. Well, God's miracle blessings are limited only by our lack of faith. John, the 14th chapter and 12th verse following says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. I'm going to ask you this morning, what miracle is it that you need today? What miracle is it? A mother's miracle. We have here recorded in this passage. She trusted the word of the Lord, and God did not fail her. I can't order God to do things. He does things often in his own time and in his own ways. And sometimes I might think it ought to be done a different way, but I do know this, that he doeth all things well. And then if I ask of him, he will act on my behalf. That God, the hand of God, is moved by the prayers of the saints. Let this example of this godly woman and the miracle she experienced, let that encourage your heart today. Where you can begin to believe God for anything. With the difficulties of life that we face and motherhood has its own kinds of things that women face. Some of us, we're not going to understand some of the things a mother goes through and what she faces. But I have this assurance for you, ladies, that God is there. In all of it. In all of the things you're facing, and some of it is arduous, and some of it is difficult, and some of it is painful, and some of it hurts, some of it is hard. But there's a God in heaven who loves you, who has ordained that you be what you are in Christ, and He will help you. And when you call upon the name of the Lord, He is always there. He's always there. If it's a miracle you need, He can give you that miracle. Divine provision in a moment of need. God is there to do it. Don't give up on God. The arm of flesh will fail you, but the Lord will sustain you. And He is there. Put your trust in Him. Put your trust in the Lord. May it be that one day, through your godly influence, your children will rise up and call you blessed because of the stand you have taken and the life you have lived that has reflected the virtue of God. Would you bow in prayer? In these closing moments, there are always things that we face in life that can challenge us in one way or another. And with all the activity and all that's going on and the busyness that all of us are involved in, just the everyday kinds of things, sometimes it's easy to think, well, I won't even bother. I'm not even going to bother God with this. Perhaps this morning God is speaking to your heart. Maybe what you need to do is take some of those things that you're facing and just bring them to the Lord. God wants you to cast all your care upon Him. Is it a miracle you're looking for? Believe Him for a miracle. Is it just added strength? Then believe Him for that. Is it wisdom for a situation that you're faced with? Perhaps with your children or other family members, and you're just not sure, then ask the Lord for wisdom. Is it for some material means? Maybe things have been really tough in this economy and you're worried about how some of the bills are going to be paid. Why not just trust the Lord? Why not cast all your care upon Him? Why not lean upon Him? Why not trust Him? Why not believe in your heart that God has a miracle just waiting for you? Let's just meditate upon the Lord as the chorus is being sung. Let's just wait upon the Lord.
I'm learning to lean on Jesus, and I'm finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Yes, I'm learning to lean. Oh, I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, and I'm finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. Oh, I'm learning to lean on my Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Some of you here today, maybe you just want to, in a tangible way, say, Lord, I stand in the need of prayer today, but I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to invite you to just come and stand here at the altar. It may not just be mothers. It might be some others that are here and God's speaking to your heart. Just stand here for a few moments. Talk to the Lord about it and let God begin to work in your heart. Let God encourage you to believe for that miracle you're looking for. We'll just take a moment. If that's you today, you come and stand here. Believe God. Just stand here at the front.
Yes.
Just meditate before the Lord before we close this service today. Some of you have been praying. You've been believing God. Now's your day. Step out in faith. Just say, Lord, I bring it to you again. Maybe you've brought it many times before the Lord. But you're believing God for a miracle. God has been speaking to your heart. Just come. Today's your day. Men and women, young people, whoever is here today, and you've been believing, you're trusting God right now. God is assuring you that if you'll just take a step of faith, that just take a step of faith and come before the Lord, God wants to seal that commitment with His presence. You can stand here at the front. If you want to go to the altar, that's fine. Let's just take a few moments before we close this service today. Give the Lord an opportunity to do something special in our lives.
It's God. We're going to continue in an attitude of prayer, but I'm going to pray a word of benediction for those of you who must leave. Some of you might want to just tarry a little bit. That's fine. Let's not only hear the word of the Lord, but let's act on it. The word of the Lord will do you no good unless you act on what God is saying to your heart. But if you will put God's word to the test and believe His word, you'll find it to be true. You'll find it to be true. And God will not fail you. Put your trust in the Lord. Put your confidence in Him. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for what you've been doing in our hearts today. We thank you, Lord, that in your presence there is strength sufficient for every need. I pray for your people, O God. As we prepare to leave this place, Lord, that your abiding presence might go with us. May the joy of the Lord become our strength this very week. Help us, Lord, to face the issues of life with a renewed trust in you. Belief that God, you have a purpose in all things. And as we trust you, Lord, as we act upon it, that blessing will follow. Whatever needs are represented here by your people, I pray for a divine intervention of the Lord. In Jesus' name, may every heart feel this morning that their prayers have been answered. May they arise in faith and look forward to see the salvation of the Lord, the deliverance of God, in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, may your people be faithful in what you've called them to do, so that your kingdom would be blessed. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day. You can remain in prayer if you'd like. Please go quietly. There are still others praying here at the altar.